Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Power Word Shir number 100 in the Positive Word Power book. Beautiful book. He brings a story. Someone's house was infested with ants. Was tired of paying the exterminator each week to spray those chemicals. So he bought the chemical in the home improvement store. And he would do it himself. He bought the insecticide, stored in a very, very harsh shelf in the basement next to the laundry detergent. The next day, his boy Chaim climbed on a chair up to the washing machine, reached to where the detergent was kept. He saw that red plastic bottle with the hose sticking out of it and the handy trigger. He grabbed it, climbed down, ran downstairs to his mother preparing the dinner, and says, "Look what I found." And he worked to get the trigger moving. Now, what does the mother do in those cases? Does she diplomatically turn away? Don't bother his steps, let him continue with his self-esteem and let him express himself? Or should she stop him? You know, should she worry that stopping him may insult him? Should she risk the family's health, that it contaminates the food and the countertops and the floor? Obviously, no. She should right away, not hesitate, to take that dangerous substance out of the child's hands before any harm could be done. That's the right thing to do, even though there's some discomfort in doing so. And then warning the child and so on and so forth to be careful. So when there's a physical danger present, people know what to do. They act quickly. You save yourself. You save others. You teach your child this is dangerous. That comes to physical harm. The problem with us is that we don't recognize when the danger is spiritual, we don't have the same reaction. We have much harder time defending ourselves against spiritual dangers. And we worry that if we concern ourselves with spiritual dangers, we look like we're being overly frum, or we'll be rejected, or we'll look strange, or we'll look like we're fanatics, things like that. And therefore, there's many damaging situations, spiritually damaging situations that go unchecked. So we're not going to go into the overall theme of this, but we're talking about Einoas Devarim. It's certainly true with Einoas Devarim that even people who keep Torah and keep mitzvahs, nevertheless, we have, with many of us, this concept that our normal conversations could be very brusque, could be very abrupt, or sometimes even outright insulting. Sometimes the insulting comments comes from a guise of a joke. We talked in the previous year that one of the categories of verbal abuse is covering it up as a joke and saying, "I'm just joking." And that's a different type of humor. And it's very difficult for a person who wants to raise their standard of speech to turn the situation around. So to keep those spiritual poisons of Einoas Devarim and Lashon Hara and all these things from polluting the atmosphere of one's home, a person has to see it as real as that insecticide, like the mushel we gave in the beginning of this year, or carbon monoxide. He has to call it for what it is. Many people speak Einoas Devarim just out of habit. And in order to change, a person has to recognize the awareness of it, and then you'll be able to change it. You know, to just bring it up, you know. But this, he'll be embarrassed if you call him this name, so don't call him that name. The other idea also is a technique to encourage changes in others is using the I message versus the you message. When a person does not attack the other with a you accusation, you start off saying, "I feel this way. You know, I feel so bad that when I hear harsh words between you and your brother," you know, that type of thing. So negative words are like that dangerous insecticide. But the cleanup is very simple, and we have to try. So the concept and the aside of what we just learned now is that when you hear Einoas Devarim in your home, you try to sensitize the speaker of the impact of the words and making sure that we're not over Einoas Devarim as we convey that, of course. So we have to be very, very careful with that. Then they bring another example of it really connected to Shalom Bayis and marriage as well. And listen to this anecdote. I'm sure we can all relate to it. So here's the anecdote that he brings down. Eli arrived home from his late-night course in business administration. As he opened the front door, it brushed against some wooden blocks, which he had no doubt has been lying there all day. The air smelled stale, as if the garbage needed to be taken out. And there on the couch, eyes just now lifting from her novel, sat Devorah, his dear wife. "Hi," she says, trying to rise up from the couch to greet him. She moves slowly, listlessly, and Ellie feels a sharp barb of disapproval pricking his heart, nearly forcing him to scream the barely repressed words, "What have you been doing all day?" Yet he clamps his mouth shut. He doesn't want fights, he doesn't want tears, and the guilt he would end up feeling. But his anger is gnawing at him viciously at his self-control. He was like a train whose brakes were about to fail and send him careening downhill into an inevitable collision. He knew his wife worked hard. He knew how she treasured the few minutes she had for herself each night. Yet the sight of the mess and the smell of the garbage and the certainty that there was nothing but lukewarm macaroni and cheese awaiting in the kitchen for him for supper blew in a thundercloud of anger that obscured everything else. "Are you all right?" Devorah asks, noting her husband's tense features. "I'm fine," he answers, irritability. "Just tell me something, though. What did you do all day? Why do I have to come home to this?" So this is clearly difficulty of passing that test. When you're angry, the Chazal say, it robs a person of his das, of his wisdom. We always say this so many times in the Shiurim. When you daven for in the bracha, atachayin alam das, give me the das, you ask Hashem to help you to have the das to remove this anger. Because when you're angry, you're stripped of the wisdom. And when you're stripped of wisdom, you're like a child. You're like you're having a tantrum. And the problem is, a child has a tantrum is one thing. When an adult has a tantrum, it's very lethal because he has adult capabilities that come along with this tantrum. The aftermath of such an outburst for most people, because we're dealing with decent people, is a sense of regret. But the bottom line is the victim of it has been hurt. The hurtful words have been expressed. And they harden the relationship. But what if there was a red warning light that flashed when a person began to speak in anger? What if there was a way to derail the oncoming disaster and switch it to a more productive track? What stands between the outburst and regaining the control? So one idea is to count to 10. That's a good way to slam the brakes down on a runaway emotions. You count to 10, you take a deep breath. But sometimes you need longer than that. You need 10 minutes, you need 15 minutes to think about how important, how situation is best to be handled. Sometimes it's unimportant and it'll go away on its own. And if it is important, thinking about how to approach the other person is more worthwhile. So the resulting words, even after you calm down and you wait that 10, 15 minutes or overnight, it still may not be a pleasant interaction, but it shows respect of feelings and dignity. There's no explosion. There's no victim mentality. There's no regrets. So we're not talking about burying things under the rug when there's a real problem. But here's the idea. Sometimes it's taka is unimportant and you mevater. You overlook it. You know, it's regular human nature, differences in personality, and you let it go. Or you work, you navigate around it, and you're fine with that. And if there's something that really needs to be addressed, it needs to be done with wisdom. That delay, that waiting, that calming down. So it's a big eight sativa when someone's coming home from work and they're very, distraught and tired, and to really, take a break, or just say, if you're really that, strung up, very uptight, give me a couple of minutes, I'll be right down. And you take that 15 minutes to have that alone time and take a deep breath and, whatever it is, till you reassess yourself. So that is the idea, to try and make that Kabbalah if you could, to choose an area that you tend to fall into anger and commit yourself to wait at least 10 minutes before you react the next time that situation arises. And like we said before, the davening for it is very, very important. You ask Hashem, you ask every day Hashem for Shalom Bayis. You never neglect to keep on continuously ask Hashem to help you with your Shalom Bayis and to help you with your anger overall and with your interactions with your children, and that everything should be, healthy and well in that area. So the two Yesaidais we learned today that are very important, we are wary and we are aware of physical dangers in the house, like this insecticide case, so too we should start becoming aware of the spiritual dangers of Einas Dvarim, of Lashon Hara, of Rechilas, of Kas, all of these things, to recognize their spiritual dangers, and we need to do something about it in order to remove it from our homes and enhance the healthy aspects of Kedusha and of goodwill and of Midas Taivais in our house, to recognize the impact of our words and to really work towards it and to be sensitive to spiritual realities and spiritual harm, to avoid spiritual harm and bring spiritual light into the home and into your life. And the second concept is when the anger moment comes, and it's normally the reaction is outbursts, which leads to regret, to have that warning sign, to count to 10, or if you could wait 10, 15 minutes, certain situations you sleep it over, you think it through. It's not talking about burying under the rug, like we said, but indeed so many things are unimportant and you just mavater and you look through it and this is no big deal. And in other times when you need to deal with it, you at least have the calmness and yishav hadas to be able to approach it. And like we said many, many times, have in mind by atachonim ladam das to give you the wisdom to understand this and to work through it and to have to navigate the midos in the right, correct way. Bracha v'hatzlacha.